Happy Mother's Day. I want to say that not just to moms, but I think of the role that women have played for years as adopted and adoptive moms and adoptive grandparents, and just the way that you as women mother well. I am one of three boys, Baptist pastor's kids, all of us. And I'm pretty sure we ran my mom ragged when we were growing up. In fact, I remember one time when I was in junior high, walking through the kitchen, mom was sitting cleaning out the bottom cupboards of some canned goods, just going through things. And as a junior higher, I noticed the top of my mom's underwear band and thought it would be a funny thing to give her a wedgie or snuggie, as we call it. Mom did not think that was as funny as I did. And I think there might have been just a wee bit of discipline that happened there. But I am grateful for a mother who loves Jesus and who trained me well. I also realize that as much as we need to and do celebrate moms, that for some, this is a most painful day to be in church. It's a hard day to be in church, and maybe there's some of you that just didn't want to come, and maybe there's some of you that are watching online that just stayed home because you maybe wish you were a mom. And for whatever reason, that's not happening. Or the relationship you have with your mother has never been good. Maybe your mother was abusive. Maybe your mother was just non-existent. Maybe it's the first Mother's Day without your mom. Maybe as a mom, you just have a really poor relationship with your kids. I remember talking to my dad and mom when they lived in the retirement park in Texas, and my dad and mom saying that there were people in the park that had literally not heard from their children for 30 or 40 years. Maybe you've buried a child. Some of you have let and experienced the hard circumstances and pain of life. And some of you have let that determine your value and worth this morning. Circumstances and situations do not determine your value. Whatever your situation, whatever your circumstance this morning, Jesus values you. And ladies, I want you especially to hear that. That's for all of us this morning, but Jesus values you. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 139? Psalm 139. And stand as we read together verses 13 through 15. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 15. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame is not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Join me as we pray this morning. God, I pray this morning that everyone here would understand how you value them, especially the women this morning. God, I pray that they would realize their worth, their self-esteem, just who they are, God, is connected to you. And so, Lord, my prayer would be this morning that you would affirm that in all of us this morning, especially the ladies who have maybe forgotten that. God, I pray that you would reveal that truth if there's someone here this morning that has listened to the lies of the enemy. And God, I pray that you would encourage and surround in love the women who hear this morning. May they be aware more than anything of your great care for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus placed a very high value on women throughout his life and his teachings. And in fact, if you look at Jesus, everything he did with respect to women was quite radical compared to the culture of his day. The place of women in the Roman culture and the Jewish culture was well known. In fact, most frequently, women were viewed as property, as second-class citizens even. Jewish men had a prayer that they would say every morning, thanking God that they weren't slaves, Gentiles, or women. Greek thinkers had a similar prayer, thanking God that they weren't beasts, barbarians, or women. So Jesus' high regard for women was much different than that of his contemporaries and that of the day. He treated women with high regard, and there are a number of ways that he did this. First, Jesus recognized their value as people. Jesus recognized their value as people. It took me a long time to realize that my mom wasn't always my mother. Mom had a life before I was born. I'm confident, except for an incident or two in the kitchen, that Mom tried to enjoy life with me when I was growing up. And Mom has continued to enjoy life. When you think of the women in your life, I bet most often you think of them in the roles that they play. She's your wife, your mom, your grandmother, your daughter, your sister. But often we fail to recognize that they are people with great value regardless of the roles that they play. Jesus recognized the value of women first by making them equal with men before God. Jesus quoted Genesis 1:27 when he said in Matthew 19, verse 4, he answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female?" Women are created in the image of God, just as men are. That means that you have free will and self-awareness and conscience and personal responsibility. You have freedom of choice. You have all of the traits of humanity that anyone has. Jesus came to earth not primarily as a man. He came to earth as a human being, as a person. He didn't treat women as females so much as he treated them as human beings. I can assure you that most often when we hear the word disciple, we think of men. We think of Peter, James, and John, and the rest of the 12 that Jesus spent so much time with. But how does Jesus define a disciple? John 13, verses 34 and 35 say, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." A disciple is one who learns and follows the teaching of another person. A disciple is both male and female. Jesus showed great value in just how he treated women. Jesus regularly addressed women in public. Men didn't do that back in Jesus' day. Remember how amazed the disciples were when they came back to Jesus and he'd been talking with the Samaritan woman at the well? John 4:27 says, "Just as his disciples came back, they marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, 'What do you seek?' or 'Why are you talking with her?'" Jesus shows again and again in his word that he cares more for people than he does about cultural and political and religious divides. Jesus also spoke freely with the woman taken in adultery in John chapter 8. Luke notes and tells us that Jesus spoke publicly with the widow of Nain. He spoke with a woman who had a bleeding disorder, a woman who called to him from the crowd. Jesus addressed a woman bent over for 18 years and a group of women on his way to the cross. Not only did Jesus speak regularly with women, but he did it in a thoughtful and caring manner. In Luke 8:48, he addresses the woman with a bleeding disorder. He says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." He refers to another as the daughter of Abraham, again, giving women equal status with men. Jesus demonstrated his high value by ministering to women. He didn't just address women in public. He showed the high value he placed on them by meeting them both physically and spiritually. He healed many women and cast out demons. Some of the things he did are recorded briefly. Others are given in more detail. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. We talked about the woman with the bleeding disorder and the synagogue ruler's daughter that he raised, and the bent over women. In Luke chapter 8, verses 2 through 3, it says, "And also some women who have been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Jonah, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means." And Jesus, when he dealt with women, he didn't just gloss over their sins either. He showed their value as persons in the way that he personally held them responsible for their sin. Remember how he dealt with the woman at the well and the woman taken in adultery, and the same with the sinful woman who anointed his feet in Luke chapter 7. Jesus didn't condone their sin. He confronted them as people with personal freedom and a measure of self-determination to deal with issues of sin and repentance and forgiveness. Jesus also gave women dignity in his ministry. Jesus did this in a number of ways. He frequently used women in his illustrations. That might not mean much to us today, but again, considering the culture of the day, that was huge. He compared the kingdom of heaven to leaven worked into bread dough by a woman. He talked about how when he returned, there would be two women working in a field. He mentioned a widow's offering, and he told a parable about a woman and a lost coin. Can you imagine how the women must have responded to Jesus' teaching, considering that culture? How they must have taken notice, living in the male-dominated culture, and how refreshing and appealing that message must have been to them. Over and over in the gospel, women are mentioned as being part of the church. Mary sat at his feet as he taught the disciples. Women were present at the wedding in Cana, and they went with him to Capernaum and everywhere in between. It was a woman who anointed Jesus' feet, a woman who anointed his head. When you think of names like Mary Magdalene and Jonah and Susanna and Mary, the mother of James and John, and Salome, you should think about women who supported, followed, and labored right alongside of Jesus and the other disciples. Women were with Jesus for the long haul, from the beginning to the end. Luke chapter 23, verse 49, and then 55 and 56, it says, "And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments." It was women that Jesus first appeared to after his resurrection. Jesus greatly valued women. So what's the application for us today? Number one, ladies, society doesn't determine your worth. Society doesn't determine your worth. You are created in the image of God. In the eyes of a loving God, you have worth, you have value. Genesis 1:27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them." And a few verses down, what does he say? "And it was very good." It was very good. So ladies, you are created in the image of God. You are created in the image of God. I read this verse early on, these verses from Psalm, but they're important for us to see again. "For you formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well." You're wonderfully made. There's no mistake in how you've been made. You've been woven together perfectly by God. Ladies, God didn't make you this morning and step back and say, "Oh my, something happened there." God didn't make you and step back and say, "Not my best work." Some of you need to hear that this morning, because you're struggling with what the world tells you about who you are. There's no mistake. God made you perfectly. A Christian woman's value and identity are found in Jesus Christ, not in her relationship status or her fertility. Secondly, you were created for a purpose. You were created for a purpose. So that means whether you're an educator, whether you're a farmer's wife, whether you chase little kids around dancing 3, 4, 5, 6 nights a week, whether you're someone in healthcare, whether you just stay home chasing tiny tots around, God created you for a purpose. Do you believe that? God created you for a purpose. God has a great adventure ahead if you're gutsy enough to join him and pursue it. Can you imagine what a teenage Mary must have felt like and thought when the angel appeared to her? God created you for a purpose. Listen to Proverbs 19, verses 20 and 21. It says, listen to advice and accept instruction that you might gain wisdom in the future. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. We can make our plans and we can set out to see if we can get them accomplished, but if we don't pray and seek God's direction, we're going to find ourselves adrift pretty fast. We may be offered employment, we may be offered schooling, marriage opportunities that don't fit God's purpose. Every plan should begin and end with God in mind first. You were created for a purpose, and God gives you that purpose. Lastly, grace is meant for you. Ladies, grace is meant for you. Whether you've messed up once or twice, or 50 times, or 100 times, or 1,000,000 times, maybe it's just the little things in life, you know. You know how we kind of categorize sin? Maybe it's just little things like making a mistake at work, or you hollered at your husband, or you told little white lies, or maybe you gossiped a little bit, or maybe it's the big things. Maybe you're sitting here this morning struggling with guilt over cheating, over an abortion you had a number of years ago, and you're sitting here struggling with guilt. Do you remember the woman in John 8 caught up in adultery? The religious leaders of the day wanted to pick up rocks and start chucking them at her. And Jesus bent down and wrote some things in the sand, we don't know where. And then he said, whoever doesn't have any sin, take your first shot. And eventually everyone disappeared. And Jesus looked up at the woman in great love and said, I don't condemn you. Go and don't sin. Ladies, grace is for you. Grace is for you. You don't have to clean yourself up to come to Jesus. You don't have to be a certain way to come to Jesus. And that's not for the ladies. That's for everyone who's listening this morning. Grace is for you. It's for all of us. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood. That's Jesus, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Ladies, Jesus cares about you this morning. He knows you. He knew you when you were in your mother's womb. He knows your fears and your joys. He knows your grief. He knows your disappointments. He knows your sadness, your depression, your anxiety. Jesus knows it all. And it does not change what he thinks about you. Jesus can and will meet any need you have if you let him. He sees you as a real person, and he just desires more than anything to have a personal relationship with you. But that's up to you. Jesus gave us free will, and we're personally responsible about whether we want to respond to that invitation to have a personal relationship with Jesus as our Savior. But I can assure you this morning that no one on earth will ever love you and accept you the way that Jesus does. There's a second challenge I want to give today, and that's to men. Maybe you guys have just zoned out here when I've been talking to the ladies. But men, the Bible teaches us that as disciples, we're to be Christ-like. So I'm going to ask you to make a commitment today, and I'm going to ask you to think a little bit about this commitment. Jesus placed a high value on women, and he did that by just treating them as real people. He spoke to them tenderly, and he loved them, and he was concerned about them. He worked hard at meeting their physical and spiritual needs. So men, do you do that? Are you treating the women in your life like real people with needs, or are you treating them as just someone there to meet your needs? Your wife isn't just your wife. She's a real person. Do you treat her that way? How about your kids, your daughters? How about your mom? How about the women you work with every day in the workplace? Do they know that you value them as someone made in the image of God? Man, I'm asking you today to love the women in your life like Jesus loves them. Jesus values each of us so much that he gave his son so we could have eternal life with him. Let's pray. God, my prayer today, more than anything, is that it isn't just the word according to Kent. But God, my prayer is that what has been said today would penetrate lives, because it is the truth of the Word of God. And so I pray that more than anything, you would assure not only women, but everybody here of their value and their worth. And assure them that that doesn't change based on what's going on in life. That doesn't change based on the circumstances of life. That doesn't change based on poor decisions. God, assure people of their value in you. And I pray, God, we would just look to you to have our needs met. We wouldn't look to the world, but God, we would look to you. In Jesus' name, amen.